Hello and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Today we continue our New Year's podcast series as we sit down with the two top channel executives at Infoblox, Lori Kornmesser, Vice President of Worldwide Partner and Alliance Sales, and Sandy Janes, Senior Director of Global Partner Programs and Operations, to talk through the year that was and the year that's yet to come. We discuss some of the lessons learned in 2020 that virtual really works, that customer experience really matters, and that diversity isn't just a tagline anymore. We talk about how the networking vendor worked with partners throughout the twists and turns of 2020, and why that led to a big year with a number of key metrics on just how important the channel was to Infoblox's growth. And while 2020 business-wise was a very strong year for Infoblox and its partners, we discuss why they feel 2021 will be an even stronger year and their plan for building the channel through consistency. It's a great conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Lori Kornmesser and Sandy Janes. Lori and Sandy, thanks so much for taking the time and joining us for the New Year's podcast series.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure to be here.
We like to take this opportunity to kind of look back at the year that was, although this year maybe we're doing a little bit less of that for obvious reasons, and some hopeful looking forward to the year ahead. But we like to start with sort of that that look in the rearview mirror, as it were. Can you maybe share some of the trends that stood out the most in 2020? And I think I might have a clue, one name that's going to get mentioned here.
Well, let me start. And listen, I think I speak on behalf of everyone that we're grateful that 2020 is kind of finally behind us, right? But I do think that there was a lot of personal and professional lessons on how we can kind of do some things differently, right? And that's what I sort of take in all of this, right? I think one of the things that we learned the most is that virtual really works. Being on Zoom all day isn't so bad. And, you know, what I remember about this, Rob, is kind of at the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of my sales and marketing friends kind of worried about would they lose their connections with their partners and customers without live events. And we learned a lot that we can remain connected and maintain kind of meaningful relationships in the digital, you know, connection. I think that was kind of a big one that stood out for me. I would also say, I think we've learned that the customer experience matters. And what I say about that is, you know, listen, we pay a lot of lip service to customer experience, and customer experience isn't just an event. It's a lifetime process, right? And the customer perceptions kind of start from the first contact to the very, very end. And so as a result of that, we've been working to really understand that total end-to-end customer experience, the customer experience, and really understanding where partners kind of fit into that. And we've got a lot of meaningful work on that. I would say the other piece of this is digital really is the only path forward. You know, there has been, we can say without certainty, right, that a lot of companies haven't completed their digital transformation journeys, and some hadn't started. And with the pandemic, you had to really sort of rethink the strategy. So the partners that kind of stood out the best were already in that journey, right? And so transformation for them and impact to them was sort of minimal as a result of that. And then the last one that I'll kind of say, and then I'll ask Sandy to kind of comment on, you know, what we're kind of doing on the part, you know, partners specifically, but diversity isn't just a tagline anymore, right? I mean, I think we saw through a lot of the racial injustice in the U.S. that a lot of the companies now are drawn to really increasing diversity outside of color and gender and all of those kinds of things. And so as we think about 2021, we started to really work with several groups to kind of explore diversity in the channel and the way that we're looking to make some changes and reflect on what that really means. And so, you know, those are just some of the things that are kind of top of mind for me. And, you know, we continue to kind of think about how channel partners are helping our customers kind of extend the core network and the security to make hybrid and multi-cloud environments a reality. And that hasn't changed. Would you agree, Sandy? That hasn't changed at all.
No, it hasn't changed. And that's been consistent. Absolutely. To build on Lori's cloud trend, we are working with our partners in a SaaS specialization program. And it's been very good to really deepen the relationship and move into what partners are doing in their CSM models, how they are working on leveraging adoption and expansion. And it's been very exciting to see what they're doing and to build a program that really now gets us deeper into that customer buying and journey along the way for satisfaction, usage, and continued expansion within the account.
So in terms of 2020 performance for the business, the technology industry had a pretty unique, I mean, every industry had a unique year in 2020, but the technology industry really had a unique year in terms of, as you touch on, the role of digital transformation for a lot of businesses in this year. Any highlights you'd like to share for Infoblox and for your partners over the course of 2020?
Absolutely. Why don't I start, Sandy? So 2020 was an absolutely exceptional year for Infoblox. Mm-hmm. Not only from a technology standpoint, from an overall financial performance standpoint. And the reason for that is because our products provide the infrastructure for remote work, which companies prioritized during the pandemic. So, it was almost like the market was sort of coming to us even more. From a channel standpoint, we had probably one of the strongest years that we've had in terms of performance. And as you remember a couple months ago when we talked, we're all about channel lift and what we're providing that's incremental. And we had the strongest performance in hunted partner closed business. We had the strongest performance in partners hunted security business. And 50% of all of our new logos last year came from partners. So we had a very, very strong year as it relates to a company and strong performance as it relates to partners. Sandy, did you want to add anything to that?
Yes, and we were able to leverage, as Lori said, the market was pulling us. Partners were also pulling us as well to make sure that they were enabled in terms of how our solutions were helping their customers in that remote environment. We went from an environment where CTOs felt like they had everything buttoned up, and then overnight, everyone was working from home. This wasn't a transition plan that we worked on. This was a plan that you had 24 hours notice, and people that were not used to working at home, they were not in traditional job functions where you ever thought you could be remote, were now working remotely. And that opened up a lot of challenges for CTOs, for employees. So our partners really leaned in with us, and we doubled down on enablement for our partners. So we leveraged the solutions. We built go-to-market collateral. We've held a lot of white glove boot camps. So it wasn't enough for us to just give them, here's some LMS material. You know, although we went deeper in that engagement, we found that we got on a call with partners, and through Zoom, we had a lot of the dialogue with them. So not only did we train, but we went through a lot of use cases and listened to what the opportunities were with their customer to give them more of a personalized experience. And it was tremendous to see the uptake in terms of what they saw there. And of course, naturally, we've given them all of the collateral and the tools to be able to leverage after the fact to brush up on it. But it was fantastic to see them leap in to what we created from an enablement standpoint this year.
Yeah, I would agree, Sandy. And the other piece that I would say is I think we got closer to our partnerships as a result of this, right? There were a lot of times where we had to come together to decide how to solve the customer problem. And, this is a case where, I think I may have shared, Rob, that one of our top partners and one of my advisors CEO of one of the top partners, he said to me, it's in these times that leaders, you know, this is when loyalty is formed. And that's exactly right. And so we look to be a better vendor to our partners, and our partners were looking to be a better ally with us. And so I think we've come together a lot closer. The only other piece that I would just add is, you know, in December, we closed our acquisition by Warburg Pincus and Vista Equity Partners, which is really exciting for us. And we've continued to kind of step into that because that's giving us, you know, tremendous momentum as we kind of start the year. And so that was another kind of positive piece as part of that.
Sure. And congratulations on that. A big event. Thank for you. Guys, no doubt. Let's maybe we touched a little bit on kind of what all this has meant for your partners over the course of the years, but maybe can we discuss a little bit more, kind of the events that shaped or basically how you saw your partners react to the events that shaped the year?
Yeah, no. So again, as we kind of talked about, I mean, I think this was, you know, as we look at the technologies that we enable, mm-hmm. You know, it really is around kind of that workforce transformation. So our channel partners played a strategic role in enabling our partners to kind of adapt to this remote model, right? And together with our channel partners, and we've been and continue to deliver this next level networking experience to the customers who need cloud managed DDI to enable customer devices to work from remote home offices, mm-hmm. right? That didn't change. And then the security that deploys remotely, that uses DNS, right, which sees 90% of the threats to enhance that detection and mitigate capabilities of customer existing security investments. So, you know, again, our technology was front and center, you know, as we continue to kind of go through this. And we saw a lot of our partners really stepping into the technologies, as Sandy said. And Sandy mentioned, we kind of stepped in, and where a lot of other vendors were kind of tightening the screws, we stepped into, you know, how can we be a better vendor partner? Sandy mentioned the triple play, but Sandy, you should also talk about the further rewards and investments that we did during that time as well.
Absolutely. And I'll touch on triple play because I spoke about enablement, but we created incentives on both sides. So we had a new logo partner profitability, which is a double-digit incentive to reward the partners for bringing a new logo for Infoblox. Now, what's great about that is a new logo for Infoblox is likely an existing account of theirs. So easy for them to upsell to include Infoblox along the way, especially as the market is pulling us. So those double-digit incentives for partner profitability certainly got their attention. And then on the other side, we created, as Lori mentioned, a triple play spiff. That was the sales incentives where an SE or a salesperson could win up to $13,000 in stackable spiffs for rounding the bases. We called it triple play. It was around a baseball theme. And if they rounded the bases by doing a demo, hunting a deal registration, and then closing the deal, again, you could get up to $13,000 for doing that on top of the double-digit incentives that we were giving to the business. And depending on the reps that were paid on margin, that particular combination proved to be very interesting for partners. So again, all around, we had the solution, we had the enablement to get them ready to have those conversations with their customers. And then we certainly opened our wallets up to get them interested from a profitability perspective.
All right. A big year, it sounds like. Turning our attention to 2021, it's one of those things where it's maybe a little bit harder than other years to look in that crystal ball and know for sure what you see ahead. But nevertheless, I'm going to ask you to do just that. What are you guys expecting to see ahead in the course of this year?
Yeah, I think that as we started, right, there's a lot of lessons that we learned in 2020 that we're bringing into 2021. And that is the focus on the customer experience. I would say that, you know, we've now learned that virtual connections go beyond just a standard business fair, right? Mm. And so, you know, a lot of virtual events have worked really, really well. And we're mm-hmm. finding that we can actually get the attention of more people. So we're actually connecting with more people as a result of that, right? So step into those virtual pieces without a doubt. And then, you know, I would say, as we talked about, digital transformation is going to bring new opportunities. As resources and dependencies shift to the virtual realm, you know, I know that there's going to be a lot of maximizing the benefits of their digital investments in cloud computing and hyper-converged infrastructure and smart applications. So, you know, it is the time to get really connected to that piece. That's what I would say. I don't know, Sandy, if you've got anything else to add to that.
No, I think that's great, Lori. And I certainly can't emphasize enough what you're emphasizing for the digital and the remote. I believe that a good component of that is here to stay. Mm-hmm. We reacted to it overnight in 2020. I urge partners to start working even within their own environments and with their customers to be proactive about what we need to do now, because that is a long-term model. Now is the time that you can start to look into solutions to have the longevity. Mm-hmm. The cloud, as Lori mentioned, is critical. And with that, there's a deeper focus for InfoBlox, certainly with partner satisfaction. And then we look at customer satisfaction, because certainly as things go into the cloud, we recognize that that level of satisfaction will become more important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agreed. And then I think I would just, the last one that I would say, and I kind of touched on it earlier, is we continue to look at studies that show that diversity and inclusion strengthens mm-hmm. organizations. So, you know, in 2021, you know, I'm working with a lot of channel chiefs. We're working within our company to really expand our diversity footprint. We just launched our new Black ERG with the company, looking at a lot of different cross-functional pieces that we're doing. And we're seeing a lot of the channel chiefs now share a lot of information on diversity. So that's going to be a big one. And so that was the other one. And then we've got our upcoming partner summit as well, Sandy, right?
Absolutely. Yes. On March 16th in the Americas, we are launching InfoBlox's Partner Summit. I'd ask partners to look into that because it's virtual. Anyone can attend that is an InfoBlox partner, and we'd love to see a great turnout. We're preparing a fantastic program for everyone.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
I think it's great. And, you know, Rob, I'll just say, just sort of in closing, one of the things that I'm most proud of this company is that not only were we agile in this whole work from home environment, mm-hmm. We showed up and really stood behind being a really good vendor to our partners, and we continue to do that. We've continued our partner advisory sessions. We have another session with them next week, just talking about different trends and how we can be better aligned with them. So we're committed to continuing to stay, you know, close to them. And the company has continued to invest in the channel. Mm. You know, the size of the organization, right, in terms of people, CAMs, and we've added, you know, channel SEs, and we've added more strength to Sandy's organization with program, you know, people. So we continue to invest in the right things to align to the partner's business. And I couldn't be more proud, because a lot of companies would maybe take a different, more risk adverse approach. And we've kind of stepped into it boldly, and it's proven to work well.
All right. Staying along those lines in many ways, you know, you touch on the programs and incentives that you put in place in 2020, and you touch on the upcoming Partner Summit. You know, what else can partners sort of expect from InfoBlox over the course of 2021 in terms of programs, in terms of incentives, in terms of how you work with partners?
We are committed to having a deliberate dependence on partners. That, without a doubt. all of the growth strategies that we're sitting in, we know that the fastest route to market is going to be with our partners. And where we're seeing the greatest return is with our partners. So we're going to continue to invest in those areas. We're not a company that's going to change the program every year. We're going to keep things simple. We're going to keep them consistent. And the other advantage is, you know, partners always tell us that they love the company culture. They love working with us. We're good humans. And so they can count on us to continue to step into their business with them and be good humans.
No, and we will continue to listen to them as well. And again, as Lori said, we've got more resources now. So we will work with them. We are creating, for instance, in cloud, a cloud champions solution, a teaming solution where we will really double down with our partners to engage with them at all cross-functional levels, whether that be at CSM, in field marketing, at the solution architects to do joint POCs together. We are more committed than ever.
And to sort of wrap things up, we like to ask folks any advice you have for partners in terms of their engagement with Infoblox over the course of the next year, as well as their own businesses and things that they should be thinking about in guiding their own channel business through this year.
Yeah, I would just say continue to trust Infoblox in this journey. That we will be committed to their businesses, we'll be committed to the investments that we continue to make, and that we just ask partners to match us in that moment, right? We'll meet you there, and we're just looking for partners to kind of meet us there as well. So if we continue that exchange of energy, I think we're both going to be profitable in the end.
All right. Sounds like good advice. Sandy, any other advice you have for partners?
No, other than that we are here for them and to continue to engage, we will match their intensity.
All right. Sounds good. Once again, I'd like to thank you you both for joining us today and for your support of the site over the course of 2021. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, and we shall talk again soon, I am sure.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
There you have it, a review of 2020 and a look ahead at 2021 with Lori Kornemeser and Sandy Janes of Infoblox. I'd like to thank Lori and Sandy for joining us for the podcast, thank Infoblox for their continuing support of the site, and of course, thank you for listening. The ChannelBuzz.ca podcast will be back later this week as we continue our series with Mark Ballier of Barracuda MSP. This time we'll be discussing some top cybersecurity tips for MSPs in 2021. And the New Year's podcast series will be back to round out the week as we're joined by Bill Brandel of Ingram Micro Canada for our annual check-in. But until then, we'd love it if you could take a moment to rate and review the podcast on your podcast app of choice, either Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. And of course, be sure to subscribe so that you never miss a moment. Until next time, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.